Last week, we were talking about one of the results of exchanging our gifts for God's excellent gifts and how that is revealed through community and belonging. So starting today and over the next several weeks, we're just going to be doing a little series that we're just going to call MVC, A Church on Mission Together. MVC, A Church on Mission Together. And this morning, it's just very simple. It's just a consideration of how motives still matter. Motives still matter. And some of you sitting here this morning, you've been with us since the very beginning. I had some people talking to me after the service at 8:30 and just talking about reinforcing the reality of this journey that we have been on together. And so this week, as a group of spiritual leaders, we've just been discussing the DNA of our Mountain View Chapel family. We've been remembering what has made our church what it is through the years. We started as a simple prayer meeting of men, just seeking the will of God. And it became a family Bible study and eventually launched into public services on Sunday mornings. Why? What was our motive for taking these steps? The love of God and making more room for more people to be a part of our journey of faith. Just very simply put. And I want to share for some of you that don't know our story, you don't know what happened in those early days. I just want you to understand that for probably a year between us having a family Bible study and moving it around, we were literally seeking the Lord and asking us, what is this supposed to look like? Because we had literally considered we had looked at the house church movement. We had looked at home churches and we had looked at small groups, and what God was blessing and what we were experiencing together was new for almost every single person that was a part of our Bible study. And so we were genuinely evaluating, God, what do you want this to look like? And so what had wound up pressing us and being a challenge for us is that a certain point after a couple years, because we would share a meal together on Sunday nights, what wound up happening is we grew to about 60, 65 people showing up on Sunday night. It was a family meeting. And so women that had signed up to host and we were going to go to their house, they had signed up 3 months ago. All of a sudden, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. I can't handle that many people coming. So we were challenged to consider, okay, what do we do with this? What do we do with God's blessings? And so one of the reasons why we launched public services on Sunday instead of staying in the house was simply because of God's love and making room for more people. Because at that point, most of the people that had homes, we didn't have anybody that was hanging out with us that had digs of 12,000 square feet where we could get 80 to 100 people together. So it impacted our decision making. So I want you to just think about the simplicity of the love of God and making room for more people to be a part of the journey. You remember coming to garage meetings? Yeah, I'm looking at you. Absolutely. Wish I weren't, but I am. Okay. Think about it. The motives still matter today. Over the past 20 years, Tom Crothamel and I have been the primary public proclaimers of our missional motives. And I'm just going to tell you that from the very beginning, our heart's desire was to take the living word of God and do our best like we had never experienced before. Let's try to live out the simple truths that we find in the New Testament and that we find especially in the book of Acts. What does it look like in America to pursue these simple things? So over the last 20 years, I have been the primary proclaimer of these missional motives. It has been a very intentional decision to keep things simple, to be like our Lord Jesus. But let me just say this. It's not so of our church family now. 5 years ago when Chris and Marissa moved here, and now with Good Hope, with Evan and Karen, and I could go through and I could mention 20 or 25 of you men that now I am not the solitary voice of proclaiming our missional message. That number of voices has increased. And let me just be really honest with you. That number needs to increase to like 400 and 500 men and women that are proclaiming this simple missional message. And like never before, it's super important for us to press in and evaluate and talk about our spiritual DNA, because that is what God has blessed, and that's what we cannot lose in the process. Evan Boone this morning over at our second service at Good Hope Campus, he proclaimed and he stood up, and I want you to hear, because he's sharing the same truth of what we're talking about this morning, but understand that he does it through the lens of his own experience and his own understanding. Let me share with you some of what he shared. He said, "Karen and I have been part of this church family full-time for about 11 years, 14 years part-time. For those who don't know, we actually moved to Madison County for the church." That's a story for another day, Evan says. But why I want to say this, I think both of us, he and Karen both, have lived life with this church family for so many years that it is easy for us to lose track of the DNA, those roots that brought us to Mountain View. During a prayer group this week, Evan says that Tim asked this question of a bunch of guys. And it's funny, there was a common thread among so many of the people. I sat there and I jotted my notes before some people even said anything. This is what he wrote down. Community, feeling like family, passion, a passion for the gospel message, life and vitality. He said, just walking in the building, you could feel it. It was palpable. Acceptance, come as you are type of acceptance. Love, love for one another and others. Evan says that before I even knew what I was missing from church life, MVC was the closest example of a biblical church community that I had ever experienced up to that point. And he says we have to strive to always be in this way, striving to get better at it and not become complacent. I just want to say that we have experienced the blessings of God over the past 20 years. We have more people that are coming to one of the three services that are curious, considering connecting, and committing to this journey of faith at MBC. And it is more important than ever before that we stay true to our roots. But it's hard to stay true to the roots if you don't know what they are. So this is even more important for us moving forward that we think about who we are and what God has blessed. Or another way to say it is that we have to stay true to the heart of who we have been through the years. Now, I've learned through the years this special truth of God's amazing provision. Let me explain this. And some of you, not only does this fit our church family right now, but some of you, you're walking in this developmental situation. And so I want to, hopefully this will help you personally. We come to a point of faith and we pray for, and we begin to seek God's blessing. Some of you, you've been doing that for a while now. Some of you, maybe you just started that. You're asking God, you're seeking God's blessings. Then God blesses. It's different time frame, different situation. God blesses and he pours out his blessings. Hallelujah. You see the goodness of the Lord manifest in your life. Then what God's blessings do is they naturally create increase and change. Now think about it. Some of you that are sitting here this morning that you hate change, do you see the conundrum that you find yourself in? Oh, God. And then God increases, he blesses you, and then there's increase, and increase creates change. Kind of stuck there, huh? So then here's where we are, and you have watched us navigate this. We now have to learn how to manage God's blessings. And some of you this morning, as we're talking about motives, we're going to just keep it raw and keep it real and keep it simple based on who we've been and who we have to continue to be. And I just want you to understand that if you are a person that is diametrically opposed to change, you have a problem being part of this family. You're going to be challenged because we are seeking the blessings of the Lord together. And as He continues to bless us and He brings increase, that naturally creates change. Either we learn the new lessons of management, staying true to who we are in Christ, or we allow the blessings to change us into someone else that we were never supposed to be. Did you get what I just said? And every single one of us have this choice. You have this choice personally, but we especially have this choice and this consideration as a church family. Another way to say it is this. We have to guard, protect, and grow the very DNA that is the heart of who we are, that because we've experienced God's blessing, God has been blessing our simple pursuit of Him. We cannot allow the blessings to distract or derail us so that we unknowingly change our DNA. Please hear me. If you're new to us, you're just hanging out with us, you're going to get the raw background of who we are and why we are at this point, and we cannot get derailed or get distracted and unknowingly modify the very things that God has been blessing. Now, I want to show you this. This is something that we handed out probably 18, 19 years ago. And we were trying back then, we're trying to figure out, because there again, what you may not know about me, and I'll mention this a little bit later on, is that Lori and I were part of some huge church families, mega churches, two of them. And so I was actually tasked with being the guy that was in charge of growth. Huge, huge family, but I was in charge of making that huge family bigger. So you need to understand that about my background. So when we are talking about big church, I understand from being on the inside of that, what that means and what goes on. So what we were trying to do early on, we were just trying to communicate. I didn't know, like I understand growth principles, and the crazy thing about a lot of what happens within church, you can take those same principles, apply them to business, because it's really business growth and multiplication principles for business that are applied to church. We just put verses around it. Anyway, that's another story. So we gave this out and we're just trying to, so this is what it was titled. Way back in the day, we called it Complex Simplicity. We knew that simplicity was what we were pursuing, but it wasn't going to stay simple. It was going to get complex. So we put down Matthew 22, 37 through 39. We're going to read those verses this morning. And we put down John 13, 35. And we're going to read that verse this morning later on. And then we talked about how that we need to be focused on loving God and loving others as the two most important pursuits will be reflected to these main areas. Woody, do you remember this? You remember saying that? I know I'm putting you on the spot. That was a long time ago. I don't even know if you can see that from right where you are. Okay, good. That's cool. All right. I love you, brother. Okay, good. So pray for Woody. Let's pray right now. Bless his eyeballs. Amen. Yeah, that's good. And the surgeons. Praise the Lord. All right, let me read you what it says. It will be reflected in these two main areas. Attitudes that show through our mind and our mouth the love of God, as in Psalm 19, 14. And actions as shown through our mouth and our movements, as in James chapter 1 and 2. And one of the things that I think is amazing is when you look at these simple efforts to keep things simple and to be able to communicate the very motives behind why we were doing what we're doing, you know what we've been celebrating this week? To God be the glory, we have stayed true to our original mission. Thank you, God. I want to mention Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. You can read that. You can think about it. Because what Jesus said to this group, this lawyer that was trying to trick him up in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39, he was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is what Jesus said to him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things hang all the law and the prophet. After all these years, our motives still matter. Why do we do what we do here? And why do we do it the way that we do? I want to just say that our motives actually matter more now and in the future than in even in our early years, because there's more people affected by what we do. And please understand my heart. I personally feel the weightiness of that in a way that's difficult for me to communicate. It's all about, it has been, it is today. It's all about God's love. It's all about God's love. Not a human definition of what we may call love, but supernatural, life-altering love that emanates from the creator of the universe, extended to us through his son, Jesus of Nazareth, and sealed by his Holy Spirit to those of us who truly believe. Our motive has and must remain the love of God. That's what Jesus proclaimed. That's why he came and lived and died and rose again, to proclaim this great love. It's that simple, but we can't change it. The reason you hear us talk about the concept of baby steps is because of the love of God. Why do we use the term baby steps? Because it's about love, this lifelong pursuit that continually expands our capabilities and our capacities. Why do we talk about baby steps? Number one, because a lot of us, we struggle with perfectionism, so we think that we have to take these huge 100-yard strides, and yet we are in for a lifelong journey of learning how to daily and weekly understand the love of God, the depth, the breadth, the height. It's amazing. And to continue at this lifelong pursuit of baby steps, the reason that we talk about the concept of learning, growing, and changing is because they represent the ongoing relationship with God and others. Scripture says, Tim, learn to love Lori Duggins the way Christ loves the church. That's not a one-time fits all. I got it figured out. 3 years of dating, 42 years of marriage, I'm 45 years in, and I am still a piece of work learning how to love. You don't know the truth of it? Ask her. Hopefully I'm doing a better job. Yeah? Okay, good answer. But you get what I'm saying? Learning, growing, and changing. It's not just a mantra. It's a lifestyle of experiencing the love of God personally, allowing him to transform us, and then to be able to pass that on. Love is one of the chief motivating factors of our focus. When you hear us talk about health, that's one of the chief motivating factors on us striving for health, not growth. We want each and every person to experience spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical health. Growth is a natural byproduct of health. I just told you, I confessed to you that I know the difference between being focused on growing something versus making something healthy, because when things are healthy, the natural byproduct of something that's healthy is growth. But it's so easy in America, we get that twisted and backwards, especially in church. That's why we talk about health. We see this type of love modeled by our Lord and Savior in the record of the New Testament. Evaluate Jesus' life. What did he do? He was constantly having the religious people throw stones at him and criticize him and judge him because he was extending the Father's love to people that other people deemed not worthy of his love. We're still striving to live as our Lord and Savior lived. We're striving to be a loving family that makes room for everyone, regardless of where you are in life. That's what we're trying to do here at Mountain View. The very reason that we launch public services is the very reason why we're still doing what we're doing. It's just that simple. We're trying to share the love of God and make more room for people. And I just want to say this. Some of you that have been struggling with what's been going on and you're a little frustrated, none of us are supposed to be the doorkeepers of who we extend grace and love to. Some of us, what do? We naturally want things to stay comfortable and under our control. That's never been at the forefront of who we're trying to be as a church family. We're simply, in its simplest form, we're trying to proclaim the love of God and make more room for more people. We want people at all levels to feel loved to the point where they can truly consider life-altering faith. I want you to think about this. We all don't have to be at the same place, but love creates an environment that exudes life and vitality, and it becomes inviting for people to grow and learn and embrace faith on all different levels. Because of the love of God, we can extend love to people on all levels. You know that between the three services every Sunday, two here and one at the Good Hope campus, do you know that every single Sunday, a lot of you unknowingly are sitting next to people that have not made the decision to believe in Jesus as the Son of the living God. More than ever before, we have non-believing people coming hanging out with us, and they have the freedom because of this loving environment to evaluate whether they are going to activate faith in Jesus as the Son of the living God. Those who believe, all represented here this morning, and I'm not saying this in any way to be demeaning. I'm just talking about from a human growth and development standpoint, we have people that believe on all different levels of maturity. We have newborn baby believers in this church family. And some of you don't know it, but you're sitting next to a newborn in faith. Some of you are sitting next to toddler believers, elementary believers. Some of you, you're struggling right now because you're in your teenage years of believing. You know what it is to be a teenager? I'm valiantly over here and then like, meh. You get what I'm saying? Some of you are going through that right now. Yep, spiritually, you're like an adolescent. Then we've got adult believers and we've got mature adult believers. And then we've, in the middle of all that, between the three services, we've got those who have turned away from faith, but now you've realized that you really do believe and you've repented and you've returned to Jesus, and now you're trying to figure out what it looks like with all the battle wounds and scars and rub marks you got all over yourself. But you know what matters? It's when we are trying to love each other, then we create an environment where it's okay to be at any one of those levels because we're not trying to meet a human standard. We're trying to understand the love of God and allow Him to change us. And we have to be focused on maintaining, nurturing, and growing our MVC spiritual DNA as we experience the blessings of God together. Our motives must not change. And here's where we're going to get into the nitty-gritty about what love looks like because of our motives. Our motives must not change, but our methods, hear me, our methods should be modified to accommodate God's blessings. Our methods should be modified to accommodate God's blessings. So let me give you an idea. See the guy back there with the blue cap on? Turn around and look at him. He loves when I call him out in the service. And that's his beautiful granddaughter. Sorry, I love you. I'm not trying to, this is more for him. I want to use Bob as an example of just the kind of loving family that we've tried to be. So Bob shows up, his son Jack is getting baptized out the river, and where we used to meet in Sandersville, sometimes we'd have baptisms before we had services because we only had one service back then at the Stone Chapel. So Bob came for the very first time to see his son get baptized. So Jack was getting baptized. Bob showed up to the river, standing on the river, looking like Dapper Dan. Sweet suit, tie, banging shoes, man. They were like pristine, beautiful leather shoes, lace-ups. Man, he was rocking it. Shows up in our group looking that way, you know? Can I tell you that? What was amazing? Bob walked in to the chapel, put his head down, sat down there, and for months, he would barely talk to anybody. Okay? Yes or no, Bob? Bob, we're having a dialogue publicly. Okay? You still love me, right? Well, you did before the service anyway. So Bob, he's trying to work through his past religious experiences. So I don't know the amount of months that it was before we finally had dinner together after he got off. And we met at IHOP in Charlottesville, and we just started talking because he's trying to figure this thing out and he's working through faith. And the way that we're doing things and what we're presenting about Jesus is all brand new to him. So he's working through this. And my past background with evangelism explosion, man, I need to get this guy to make a decision right now. But he's a car salesman. I'm not stupid. The dude knows how to close a deal. So I'm not trying to close a deal. I'm trying to be a brother, and I'm trying to take that training, and I'm trying to lay it aside and let the Spirit of God. So we have this conversation for like an hour and a half over the meal, and I just say to Bob, you're going to have to figure this out, man. Let me know how I can help you. I don't know the length of time it was, and he's come to services. Bob hasn't left us since that first Sunday that he came to a baptism, okay? He's been here the whole time. And now he's a clicker brother. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, ask him. So Bob is working through. It's probably about a year and a half. I don't know exactly, but it's a year and a half before Bob says, and we're having a conversation. He's talking, and he says, I know now that I believe in Jesus as the Son of the living God. Because grace didn't make sense for him. With his lifestyle and the things he'd been experienced, he understood trying to clean himself up and be presentable to God. But he didn't understand. And then it was fast forward. Bob hates the cold. Okay? So it was later on. Do you understand what I'm trying to show you? Is this loving environment where he can grow, his faith can grow, and he can be loved and he can be embraced, and there's not this standard? It was, I don't know how much longer, he said, hey man, it's time for me to get baptized. He didn't want to get baptized in the river because river water is cold even during summertime. So we waited till the warmest time of the summer at Bobby and Kim Berry's in the swimming pool, and he and a 90-year-old woman got baptized together. Okay? And I mean that dead serious, because the water was the warmest. Am I right, Bob? It was a glorious day, and we cried. We cried that day. It was a glorious day. You know why I'm telling you that? Because I want you to think about our history and who we are of just extending the love of God. And I'm not trying to push him into doing anything. I want him to respond and understand what the Spirit of God is doing. That's the kind of family that we have to continue to be. Let's be really honest. Many people struggle with change because they struggle with health and growth. Think of it from this application of what many of us have observed in this county. And I don't mean this any other way than honest. Dying and declining churches often get stuck in a comfort rut of God's past blessings. At some point, God blessed their efforts for the gospel, but that changed. And most of the time, it's because we are not willing to modify our methods to experience greater blessings for the present and the future. You understand what I just said? It's difficult. And what I don't want is that I don't want, as a spiritual grandfather here in this church family, what I don't want is 5 years from now, some of you going, remember back in 2024 when God was blessing and people were getting saved and baptized and we're not better than anybody else. We have to humble ourselves and learn from past mistakes. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to foster this thing of our motives being about the love of God and making room for more people. Love is not about staying comfortable and having your needs met. Love is about learning to see others, step out of your comfort zone, and learn to help and bless others. Some of you, for us to continue to be a healthy, growing family, it's not a small group that's going to meet the needs of this growing family. It's this huge group of some of you right now that you've been holding back of you stepping up and doing more to bless the people around you. Love is the key. And I want to say this. Somebody this morning needs to hear this. Somebody here this morning, you need to stop withholding love. There's somebody here this morning that you make a conscious, intentional decision to withhold love from somebody. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's somebody in your family. And I'm just saying, by the mercies of God, draw close to God and lay down your bitterness, lay down your resentment, lay down your scorekeeping, lay down your revenge, and allow the love of God to cleanse you and purify you so that you can pass on his love to somebody else. It'll make a difference. Very simply put, love is the key. This simple key, it's simple, but it's extremely challenging to live out, and it's absolutely impossible to do it like Jesus without the presence of the Holy Spirit. Some of you, you still don't understand why I'm such a proponent of Bible study and prayer. You want to know why I pray? You want to know why I seek the Lord? You want to know why I open up the living Word of God? Because I don't naturally have the capacity to love the way that I'm supposed to love my wife, to love my kids, to love the people around me, to love my friends, and to love all of you the way that Christ has called me to, without him flowing through me, changing me, purifying me, and enlarging my capacity and my capabilities. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. Some people say, oh, Pastor Tim, you're a good guy. If you're like me, aren't you glad that people can't peel back and look inside your heart and see what you're really thinking? Ooh, that would be so ugly. You get what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 explains the way of God's love. Brother and sister, I want you to hear, part of our DNA, and this cannot change. We have to be a family that loves. Francis Chan says, a healthy church should be known by how it loves people. Some of you, the denomination, the background, the church that you're coming from, they would say that, I don't know what words they would say, but a lot of churches say that theology and truth is more important than love. And I'm not saying, we talk about it. We're not trying to be dumb people. We need to know the scriptures. But that's it, love. That's all he says when people leave a church. He says, Francis Chan says, the only thing they should know is how well that church loves one another and loves the people that come to be a part of it. And what we have to do now more than ever, Woody, we were talking Friday night at the Men's Chili Cook-Off, and Woody was just talking about during the early days, it was funny because where we were in Standardsville, the parking lot was down here. You had to walk all the way up, and then you went in this little stone chapel. And so we rarely ever started on time because we'd have this whole gaggle of people in the bottom of the parking lot. It didn't matter how many. We actually had a bell on the schoolhouse for the kids. We'd ring the bell, we'd scream, we'd yell. People would just wave at the bottom of the parking lot and just keep talking. We had people that would come, and they, because they had so much church hurt, they would say they almost threw up driving up 33 before they turned in the building because they were so full of anxiety. But when they got out of the car and they got embraced by this gaggle of people that wouldn't stop talking, all their anxiety just went away because they were so distracted. But you know what people said? I felt embraced. I felt loved. It was a friendly group of people. And just as Evan said, we cannot get lazy. We cannot be complacent. We have to be a church that pursues God through the love of Jesus Christ, and we have to continually learn how to love one another. As we become students or apprentices of the Word and prayer, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. John 13, 34 and 35, we're going to keep proclaiming these verses and keep the challenge going until my dying day. And I want you to understand this about me. By the grace of God, I will be stubborn and relentless toward the love of God. Proclaiming it, experiencing it, and passing along to other people. And some of you, you've been asking for 4 or 5 years, Pastor Tim, what does it look like? We've got more people coming. We're experiencing the blessings of God. And I have been true to my heart with you. I've told you, some of you, I've told you for 19, 20 years, I don't know. Pastor Tim, what's our plan? Jesus. Pastor Tim, but what are we going to do about this growing group? I don't know. When we came to Renback, we were at PVCC in Standardsville, and we were saying, Pastor Tim, what are we going to do? I don't know. I have been consistent. I said, Pastor Tim, what are we going to do right now? All the people that come in between three services, guess what I'm going to say to you? Say it with me. He doesn't know. But isn't that beautiful for us to literally submit the leadership of this church family to the great shepherd and his provision and the way he applies? Because listen, what we have to do is we have to be focused on health. John 13, 34 and 35 in the NLT. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Do you know I love you? Do you know I love you? Yeah. It matters, doesn't it? Just as I've loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I was a part of praying with and over someone yesterday. He's an older, mature man, like I am. As we were standing and talking to each other, you know what he said to me? He said, thank you for loving me. He looked me dead in the eyes and he said, I've never had a man my age love me the way that you love me. We can't stop loving people. We can't stop fostering love. We can't stop experiencing the love of God and just being conduits to pass his love on. Deuteronomy 6, Matthew 22. When we started 20 years ago, right now in 2026, the simplicity of it all has not changed. Our motives have to stay the same. We have to be a people that are experiencing the love of God, passing it on, and just making room for more people to experience that. Some of you with this whole Good Hope experience, I hope you can see that we are willing to lead with the same simple tenacity. God provides a way. We are going to do what we can do to respond, to love more people, and to make more room for people to sit at the table. Let me be really candid with you as I wrap things up. I haven't said this publicly, but on a human level, I don't believe that there's anybody that has struggled more on a human, personal, selfish level with launching the third service like I have. Because I love everyone. And on a human level, my first response was like some of you, that we are losing by launching. And yet when I pray and I seek the Lord and I come back to these simple things, it's like, Tim, I have provided a way to love more people and to make more room at the table. And so you know what I do to our great King and Lord? I submit myself and I continue to pray, Father, I want your will to be done, not my will to be done. Thank you for amazing people that right now, They just finished their service over there a little bit ago. Do you know that there's people coming to that location and being a part of that 9:30 service that have never stepped foot in this barn, that are being reached over there? People coming for the first time, hearing the sound of the gospel, being able to experience the love of God on a whole new level. It's about His kingdom and His church, not our own comfort. So I want to ask you, will you learn to love on a whole new level? Not today, but for the rest of your life. Will you make His love known? Will you, in your home, in the scope of your life, will you make room for more people and proclaim the message? And brothers and sisters, we have to keep it simple. We have to keep our motives focused on the love of God and just sharing the love of God with others. So I want you to think about these things as we stand and we worship together as we wrap up the service. Let's stand.